2 weeks ago, when I was last with you on Sunday morning, I preached a message entitled, Yes. Y'all remember that? Yes. Y'all do remember. You got the word down. There was a verse in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, that we're going to look at here in just a little bit, that it simply says, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Any idea what today's one-word message is going to be? You don't? You don't have any idea? That's kind of a trick question. Yes, the answer is no. Gets confusing, doesn't it? But it doesn't have to be. Because Jesus said, simply, let your yes be yes and your no be no. We sang a song a little while ago that struck me. It says, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. And I love that song. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm taking my sickness. I'm going to just give it to the Lord and receive what He has for me. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. But did you know that sometimes in order to say yes, Lord, you have to say no to something else? That's where we're going today. All right. Have you ever known anybody who had a difficult time saying no? And maybe that person has gotten into trouble or has become overcommitted because they could not say no. Sometimes they don't say no because they're afraid. Afraid for whatever reason. Maybe they're afraid it's going to hurt somebody's feelings. Maybe that person, if I say no, then they won't like me anymore. And I'll disappoint somebody if I say no. Afraid it'll affect our image. And this could be no to things like drugs or alcohol or premarital sex or cheating. You know, those are the big bad things that we always say. You gotta say no. What's the slogan? Say, just say no. Just say no. It's almost like that came out of Scripture. Simply say no. But it could be other things like taking the kids to the store or the movies every time they ask. It could even be good things like saying no to things to do in the church. Okay? Now, I'm going to be careful on that because, you know, we'll talk about that in just a second. Now, I know that on the surface that sounds strange, but I'm a firm believer that anyone who tries to do too many things ends up not doing any of them well. Okay? So, yes, there are some times we need to say no to even to things that are good, but that's not typically a problem we have here at Dolan. We have people who won't say no because if they do say no, then it just won't get done because their problem is not that they won't say no enough. The problem is more that other people won't say yes enough, okay? Am I stepping on toes this morning? Okay. I'm going to stomp here in a minute. There's just not enough people simply saying yes, but then there's that thought that if we just don't know that if someone else would say yes or not, because we've never given them the opportunity, because we've never said no, right? There's a statistic that in most churches in America, 80% of the people, 20% of the people give 80% of the funds by which the church operates. 80-20 rule, and it's also true in work. 20% of the people do 80% of the work, and I know that that's typically when you take all the statistics, put them together, that's the average they come up with, and I understand that. I get it. I see it. But how many of those 80% who aren't physically doing things in the church are doing them because there's not an opportunity, because other people have not said no? And so I want to be careful with that. What I don't want you to walk out of here and have heard me saying is that you just need to start saying no to God. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? I'm going to get into a word here in a little bit. It's called priority. I mentioned this 2 weeks ago. I'm going to talk about that more here in just a second. I'm My focus is not on saying no to ministry opportunities as much as it is saying no to those things that interfere with ministry or even growing or deepening our relationships both with Christ and with people. You see, we won't say no to other commitments that drag us away from church sometimes. We won't say no to the TV that keeps us from a time commitment with God. You got to hear that as I preach this message, I'm preaching to myself. My wife says amen silently because she knows she's going home with me later on. But that's the truth, isn't it, Rebecca? And she's still silent. Okay. We won't say no to the lazy boy when our neighbors need a few minutes. Why is it that we don't say no to some of those things? Is it out of selfishness? Yeah, I think it is. It's out of selfishness or maybe just laziness. But it always comes back to priorities. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, again, I'm using some of the same passages that I used last time. Speaking of priorities, this passage says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness." Let me read it again. "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." It's the first things first. If we'll say yes to what God says yes to and no to what God says no to, then guess what? He'll take care of the rest. "And all these things will be added unto you." A minister friend of mine who had been asked to leave a church one time. And it was not a heartbreaking thing that went down. And I was really concerned about him. He didn't have a place to go. And Rebecca and I went and had dinner with this couple. And we were concerned, you know, how can we help or whatever. And I remember what he said to me. He said, "Don't you worry about us. God has always taken care of us, and He will here too." You remember that? Remember that? He will. He will. If we get our priorities right, that's our yeses and our noes, God knows what we need, and He will provide. I've read about it. I've seen it happen in other people's lives. But more importantly, I've experienced it firsthand myself, and it's true. Our problem is we think we're smarter than God. We think that God is trying to keep us from living it up or that we can handle more than what God knows we can handle sometimes. It started in the garden with Adam and Eve. Remember the conversation with her and the snake? Did God really say? You know, he basically said, "Well, God, listen, here's the deal. God doesn't want you to eat from that tree because He knows that if you do, you'll have this knowledge that He doesn't think you can handle." Well, guess what? God was right. God was right. And guess what else? In case you didn't know, the devil is a liar. He lies. He's the father of lies. It started in Adam and Eve in the garden. And look here, dudes, guys. A lot of times it said, well, you know, it was. Matter of fact, when God confronted Adam, he said, "What's going on here? That woman that you gave me, okay? It's either the woman's fault or your fault for giving her to me because she did." Well, guess what? Where was Adam? Bible says he was there with her. He was just as guilty, if not more so, than Eve for not saying, "Hey, babe, you may have forgotten something. This ain't allowed. Don't put that on Eve. It's both of them." Okay, back to my message here. It's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Okay? Priorities. But this is more than just about saying yes to what God says yes to, and more than just saying no to what God says no to. Jesus says in our verse for today in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, "All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." Jesus is not just saying yes, or to say yes, or to say no, but to mean what we say. Have you ever said yes and not really meant yes? Have you ever said no and not really meant no? A couple Sundays ago, I said that the yes, today's yes, is really the new maybe. Hey, you want to do this? Yeah! Which means maybe, unless I get a better offer, or unless something comes up, or unless I spend all my play money at the Sonic this week, or for whatever reason. Yes, unless. Jesus is simply saying, mean what you say. Say yes or no, and mean it. I heard a story one time about a child who just would not take no for an answer from her parents. She would argue her point, and she would debate and go back and forth, try to make compromise and such. And there were times when this little girl would take it so far that the negative consequences of her not accepting the word no cost her more than if she had just simply agreed with her parents in the first place. You see, we miss out on some of the things God wants to say yes in our lives because we could not accept the word no. We miss out on some of those blessings that God wants to shower upon us because we could not handle it when He said, but this is not allowed. I do not want you to go in this place. And I have lots of stuff in store over here for you, but that's not part of the plan. But we sometimes think, well, God just doesn't know what He's talking about. We don't say that. We don't come out and just say that. We're not that blatant. We don't come out and say, well, I'm smarter than you, God. But, you know, but really, at the root of it, isn't that really what it is? God says no, but I'm going to do it anyway. Where does that come from? I know better. God doesn't know how I feel. God doesn't understand how much I enjoy that. There's a story in the Bible about a guy named Elijah. It's in 1 Kings chapter 19, and this is a lengthier passage, so if you want to turn there, please do so. 1 Kings chapter 19. If not, the words will be on the screens as I read. Elijah's been running, kind of scared, finds himself hiding in a cave. And in verse 11 of that 19th chapter of 1 Kings, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. Or as I learned it, a still, small voice. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. You see, we often want to say yes to the great and powerful wind events in our life. Yes, yes. Oh, this is worth my time. It's a big deal. I'm gonna yes. We say yes to the earthquake events, the earth moving, shattering events, and to come. Woo! That's worth my time investment there. We want to say yes to the fiery things that are just woo. They're hot. It's wow, that's the happening thing. We want to say yes to those things. But too often we've said yes to so many things that we have not the time, nor the energy, nor sometimes even the desire for that still small voice. Yes, I want to go to the conference. Yes, I want to go to that revival. Yeah, and these are good things. Yes, I want to go to that a special speaker that's coming. Yes, I want to go to that healing service. Yes, I want to go. Folks, these are good things. But if that's what we're looking for the wind, the earthquakes, and the fire, and we miss out on the still, small voice, the gentle whisper where God speaks into our lives. We've got to get our priorities straight. Sometimes we get our priorities so messed up that we miss out on what matters most. Now, wind is good sometimes, right? I mean, it moves us around, it cools, it brings a breeze, and we need the wind. When I was going out to Fort Stockton, the wind was blowing so hard. There's a section out there between, I think, Sonora and Ozona, out there in that area on I-10, where they have signs up. You're going through these canyons and whatnot, and it says, caution, wind gusts. And sure enough, if you're not paying attention, it'll make you change lanes. And I'm sure you've driven in some of those types of situations. If you went out in the hurricane to see what was blowing around or whatever. We need the wind, and it's a good thing sometimes. Earth-shattering events can be good at times, and we all know that we need fire, right? So those elements in themselves are good things. But those things will not sustain you. The revival services, if that's where you go to get your God stuff, is the revival services. I mean, it's good, and it's a start. It's a jumping spot. It's a boost. The what I mentioned, healing services, the conferences, all those things, they're good things. I don't want to say that they're bad. They're not. They're good things. But if that's what you're looking for to sustain you, you are going to shrivel. We need that gentle whisper. And it's so easy to fill up our time, and the volume of things can get so loud that we miss it. Priority. And then I'm getting kind of ready to close, but I want, Chad, I'm ready for that slide. Priority. P-R-I-O-R-I-T-Y. Let's break down this word. 2 weeks ago, I mentioned, and I showed you that inside the word priority is the word prior, and prior means beforehand, right? Before, okay? Let's look at that word, priority. Sometimes when you put a Y on the end of something, it describes the result of doing the first part of the word, right? Like maturity. That's the result of being mature or acting mature. Wives, please get your elbow out of your husband's rib cage right now. Unity is the result of uniting with others. Prosperity is the result of prospering. Brevity is the result of being brief. And these are just some examples that I wrote down. Stupidity is the result of doing stupid things. Agree? Okay. Generosity is the result of being generous. You get it? So the why sometimes on the end of words, not every time, but on some words, it's the result of doing the first part of the word. Prosperity, okay, is a result of making decisions prior. Look here. Prior to it, we get the result of priority. You see how I did that? I'm not even that smart, y'all. When we make decisions prior to it, the result is that that's a priority in our life. It. I'm not sure what your it is. But whatever it is, it just happens, right? And you cannot always be prepared for it. However, you can have principles in place that will just about cover it whenever it shows up in your life. I will not go into that dark room with only him or her. I will not do it. I have decided prior to it, therefore making it a priority, that I just won't go there. I will not partake if offered something harmful or unlawful. I will place my marital relationship above all other human relations. I've decided prior to whatever circumstances may come that that's my priority. I won't do it. I will only eat 1.5 donuts out of the box of donuts in the lunchroom next time I go in there. I've already decided 1.5 is my limit. That's my priority. I will be in church unless my ox is in the ditch. Whatever it is, I'll make a commitment. I'm going to be at church. I will have time with God before I devote my time to other things. It's a priority. I will have an answer. Before I stand before God, I know that I have said yes to Jesus and no to myself. And all these things shall be added unto you because I said yes and made Jesus my priority and I said no to my selfish desires. And listen, when it says, and all these things shall be added unto you, all these things that the Lord adds unto you are good. They're far better than what I desired to begin with. Have you said yes to Jesus? Have you said yes to Jesus? I mean, truly and really? Yes. Do you still say yes to Jesus today? Or are you saying yes to the temptations that fill us up, that come into our life, whatever it is? So much and so full that I don't really have much room left for the things of God. Sometimes before we can say yes, we've got to say no. I've given an example where I've taken a big cup of ice, a jar of ice, and a jar of water, and I started to pour the water into the jar of ice till it came up to the brim, and I said, is that jar full of water? And people said, yes. And I started scooping out the ice, took the ice out. Well, I know there's some science dude, Chad's back there going, well, technically ice is water, but really, you thought it, didn't you, Chad? Okay. But when I take the ice out, we realize that there's more room for the water, that the jar wasn't really full of the liquid water because the frozen water, the ice, was taking up space. Sometimes we have to say no to some things to make more room. I don't know what those things in your life may be. I want to ask you to, where you're seated right now, just bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to ask for some responses, and I don't want, you know, this is not for you to see what everybody else is responding like and what they're doing or you know, what should I raise my hand or not? Does so-and-so, that's not about that. I just want to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes if you need to. And I just want to ask you, who struggles? Who struggles with their priorities, saying no to the things God says no to and saying yes to the thing God says yes to? And just, if you struggle with those things, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray. Just keep your hands up for a minute if you would. Nobody's looking around. Lord, I want to pray for these people, including myself, who struggle with priorities, who struggle with saying no to those things that keep us from being able to say yes to the things you want us to say yes to. And Father, I pray that you would give us the strength and the courage and the boldness to get our priorities back in line with you. And I want to pray for each one of these people in this room that are lifting their hand up right now. Father, that you would speak to them, that you would empower them, that you would enable them, Father, like the Army slogan says, to be all they can be in your strength and in your power, in Jesus' name. Now just keep your eyes closed, keep your heads bowed for a minute because we're not through yet. There were many hands that were lifted about those that struggle with this issue and in the area of priorities and saying yes and saying no and maybe even meaning what we say when we say those things in response to people's questions or needs or desires. I'm going to ask you, if you do struggle with those things, like I do, and you want to say today, it's time for a change. I don't want to have to struggle with that anymore. I have proven that I'm not capable of doing this on my own because I have messed it up good time. And I am very capable of messing it up again. So I'm going to ask the Lord. If you're serious about, do you want to change? I want you to raise your hand. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's looking around. Now we're going to get serious. Now we're going to get serious. Father in heaven. Father, there's some honesty going on in this room right now. And Father, I pray for a touch. I pray for strength. I pray for encouragement, Father. I pray for discernment as those decisions come into our lives and we have to decide, is this the right thing? Is this not the right thing? Do I say yes or do I say no? God, is this the yes or the no thing? I want to do what's right. And Father, we have to try to discern those things. I ask for discernment. You'll give us wisdom as we make those decisions. Father, I pray for courage because sometimes it's not popular to make the right decision. And there are repercussions. And sometimes people get upset with us. But Father, teach us that right is right. Right is right. Father, let us be more concerned with pleasing you than pleasing man. So Father, those of us, and I'm included, that have our hands raised up, that need your help, Father, I pray that you would give it. Father, that the Holy Spirit would perform the role in our lives that you sent it in teaching us and guiding us and strengthening us and making us more like Christ each and every day. So, Father, I pray that today would be a change day. Today is the beginning of a new direction, maybe, beginning of a new habit, a new way of doing business. That we seek you first, your kingdom and your righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto us. Father, thank you. Let me put your hands down. I just want to encourage you this morning that if you, I am a big proponent of this. Talk is cheap, right? You've heard the saying, you got to put your money where your mouth is. Why they use money for that? Well, because that's just something that matters to us. If I put money on that thing, then that means I'm serious about it. I'm not asking you to throw money. I'm not asking you to do anything with money today. All I'm asking you to do is don't let your word be a word only. Let's put action to it. Maybe you need to come to the altar. Maybe you would like to come and pray with Rebecca or myself as we're here in the front. We would love to do those things. But there's something more important than just coming to a physical place at the altar. It's what goes on in our heart. Now, I will tell you that I believe that movement validates some things. So maybe some of you just need to come to the altar. Maybe some of you need to come for prayer. Maybe some of you, Hal has offered to pray with anybody anytime. Maybe there's somebody else in this room. I know we have prayer partners and that kind of stuff. Maybe you just need to go to somebody else, but put movement to your thoughts because then it becomes reality in your life. Let's act on some. We need to start acting. Some of you need to start acting right. Some of us need to start acting right. But acting, I'm not talking about like the movie stars where they act and it's not real. I'm talking about putting actions to words, to thoughts, and making some real lasting changes in our life. If you're ready for that, let me just encourage you. Today can be your day. I don't know what your it is. I just know that we need to decide prior to whatever it is, or it's not going to happen. Father, help us. Help us to just be real. Lord, this is a safe place. This is a safe place. I've heard it said that the church is not a showcase for the saints. It's a hospital for the sinners. And Lord, that's the truth. Every one of us in here. have fallen short of the glory of God. But by your grace and your goodness, you sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for my sins, for her sins, for his sins. And Father, if we receive that and accept that as true in our lives, then Father, we're your child. We're your child and you care for us. Father, help us to care enough for you that our actions show it. That's my prayer for me and for my people. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? This is a time of response. Again, the altar's open. Maybe you need to pray with somebody. Just let me encourage you in this. If it's real and you want it or you need it, do something about it as we sing.